And so if you want to take that out, that little picture comes out of this book that I've shown you before. It's called Life Coach Discipleship. And this book has a little part in it about a whole week where you study about being a disciple and what it means to be a disciple. And in this book, it has this little graph, and it talks about the growth and the development of a Christian. And if you notice, it starts right here with this little sliver that says born again. On the left side of that little sliver, it's the place where we're already, we start out being spiritually dead. That's that place right there where it says dead. I know you were breathing whenever you got saved, but the fact of the matter is that the inner man is dead in their unbelief. And so I just want to send that home with you. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on, but I want you to know what that picture is on the back of there whenever you go to look at it. But we're going to be talking about those levels of development. Levels of development from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, down to chapter 6, verse 3 is where we're going to be in the Bible today. And, you know, Paul speaks a little, or I'm sorry, I wind up saying Paul whenever I talk about Hebrews often. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. Correct me, please. The old King James Version says that Paul was the author, but we really don't know for sure who was the author. We just know that it is the Word of God. And in Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 11, the writer of Hebrews was explaining to them a very large truth about Jesus being a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And when he got to verse 11, he said, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." This is an interesting area of Scripture, and it could sound like a sharp rebuke, but I want to hear it as a challenge this morning to all of us. I want this to be a challenge to all of us. How many of you guys feel like that you still have room to grow in your relationship with Christ? Go ahead and raise your hand. I hope we never get to the point that we don't feel that way. We never outgrow our need for our Father. I don't know what your relationship with your earthly father was like. Everybody has one. And I'm sure it's a mixed bag. Some of you had really great relationships with your dads. Others maybe not so great. I can assure you none of them were perfect. By the way, happy Father's Day to all of our dads in here today. I'm aware that as a dad, I'm not perfect either. I haven't given my children the perfect experience. But I want us to realize that we do have a perfect Father. We will never outgrow our need for our Father. I will also put another thought in there about Father's Day before I move on. Yeah, appreciate what your Father has done for you. Your earthly dad. It may have been small. It may be hard to weed out of all the bad or whatever. I don't know what your experience is like, but please appreciate whatever good that he did for you. You're in this world because of him, at least in some way, shape, or form. And appreciate whatever you can about that, because I'm going to tell you, I now don't have my dad. And you know, I should have appreciated him more while I had. So I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent this morning. I was blessed to have the dad that I had. He wasn't perfect, nor am I, but I can tell you, he cared about me, he loved me, and he did his best. That's one thing I know for sure. And I really appreciate the contributions he made to my life as I look back. And so be thankful for your dad in whatever your situation was, in whatever way you can. And let's especially be thankful for our Heavenly Father. I kind of outgrew my need for my earthly dad, you know. I mean, I became independent, and we went on with life. We worked together for many years. I actually worked with my dad for over 30 years. He actually put me in charge of everything that the business had to do. This will show you how much faith he had. He actually did it when I was 17 years old. He realized he didn't have what it took to be able to plan construction jobs and things of that nature, and to be able to make pricing that we were actually going to make money on. And so he looked at me one day and he goes, "You know what? I think you're better at this than me." He said, from now on, I'm going to let you make all the deals. I still remember that day. I thought, you're crazy. Yeah, we just about starved to death, but be it for the grace of God. But you know, looking back, I just that was the kind of relationship that we had. We fought sometimes. Boy, and sometimes it got ugly. I'm not proud of some of those moments. But I tell you what, we were combined together, and there wasn't any meaning separating us. And I can tell you, I had no doubt that no matter where I might be, my dad would march right in there to save me in a physical sense if he was able to. I'll even tell you a story real quick. I'll tell you a little story about this. One night I got thrown in jail. Everybody went, yes, the pastor spent part of a night in jail. I hadn't done anything wrong this time. I actually was driving through the town of Hillsboro, and I had my .22 rifle in the back rack of my truck, and an overzealous police officer knew that a house had been robbed down the street, and he was absolutely sure I had to be the thief because a .22 rifle had been stolen out of that house. So it was Memorial Day weekend or Labor Day weekend, one of those. It was real busy, and I got pulled over with my wife and two children in the truck, and he said, let me see the gun. There was a Winchester stolen down the road, and I think that's it. And I didn't know my rights at the time, and I said, well, it's not a Winchester. And he goes, then let me see it. And as soon as I handed that gun out that window and gave it to him, things went downhill real fast. And before you knew it, I had handcuffs on. They were talking about throwing my children and my wife out of the truck, even though she owned the truck and had a driver's license. The next thing you know, my dad come driving down Highway 21, coming the opposite direction, and he saw it, and he stopped the truck, and he got out of that truck, and he marched across that busy Highway 21 with a cop screaming at him with his hand on his gun saying, sir, if you don't stop, I'm going to drop you. My dad said, that's my son, and that's my gun leaning up against his truck, and you're going to explain this to me. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something else. They hauled me off to jail that night, and my dad forced his way in the door with me. They wouldn't let him in the car. He followed the police car to the jail. And whenever I went walking in, they were trying to stuff me in the back door of the jail. My dad stuffed his body in that door with me. They eventually got him out of there. And it was a good thing because he went and got the deed to his house and put it up to get me out that night. That was the kind of dad I had. We had our disagreements, believe me. But I had the kind of dad that literally would walk in flames to retrieve me if he could. I praise God for that because it was a good example to me. You know, our Heavenly Father has done even more than that. Isn't it amazing what he does to protect us? He sent his only son to die for us. It's incredible. But you know what I'm realizing is once we come to Christ, we pass over from death to life, and then it's like we're a little infant. Born again. We got some infants in the room. I'm looking at one of them right now. He is just a little angel. I'm sure his parents could tell me a little bit otherwise, but he's pretty cool, isn't he? I got a little granddaughter back there as well. Just beautiful and so innocent. You know what? I would not expect them to know how to drive a car yet. In fact, we just get thrilled to death whenever they can put one foot and leg in front of the other, right? When they get to the point that they can burp themselves, we're like, yeah, they're growing up, man. And then they say their first word, and it's like we start to cry because they're going to grow up too fast. But we expect them to go through these levels of development. Don't you expect it to happen? If by 2 or 3 years old they're not crawling yet, we would be very worried, very concerned, correct? This would be a big deal to us. But yet we wouldn't despise them for it. We would just admit that they're delayed, correct? I think we got to realize this about the levels of spiritual development as well. So I pray that you have already taken that crossed that chasm from death to life, and then I want you to know there's some growing up to do. You see, we focus in on the little ones, and we can see how they grow, and we know that there's a process to this whole thing, and we insist on helping them through it. But oftentimes as Christians, we have eternal life through Christ, and we think, this is it. This is as good as it gets. Well, it is true. If you're saved, you're as saved as you're ever going to be, and I don't think you can lose it. But here's the deal. You got to grow up as a Christian, too. And so there's stages of that Christian development, and if y'all wouldn't mind standing for the reading of this passage of Scripture, we're going to read from Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 11 again, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Remember, that means completion. Become more complete. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these words, we see that there's supposed to be a progression of our growth in Christ, moving toward completion. Not that we ever graduate from our need from you, but someday when we stand before you in heaven, that completion will be fully attained. But this life that we have right now is supposed to be preparation for us. It's supposed to be an issue of us growing, just like our children grow, and becoming more able to do your will, more able to be useful in your kingdom, more able to understand the deeper things that we find in your scripture. So help us thereby to grow. Help us to desire that growth. Help us to want to just like I remember being, 15, and I couldn't wait to get my driver's license. Pray that we'll be that way about doing ministry for our Lord and Savior, our God and King. That as we grow, you'll be able to entrust more into our hands to do for the kingdom's sake in you by your power and Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. So, growth is a gradual process. You know, when we look at, like, a child, we have a fetus, and we know that that's still in the womb and it's growing. It's still a person, right? We're all aware of that. It's just it's a level of growth. It's a stage of development, right? And then we have the infant, who then becomes more, what we know of as a child. We have children's ministry here. We have a nursery appropriate for different age groups. And then we have adolescence. And an adolescent, I would consider to be like a teenager and whatnot, kind of getting closer to adulthood, right? And then eventually turning into adult, and then eventually we have our senior adults or our elders. Growth is expected. Change is just part of it, amen? I've changed a lot since I was 16. You got to see pictures of me whenever I was about 4 or 5. I was a cute little blonde-headed kid. You guys didn't know that? In fact, Daniel probably out of all of our kids, when he was about my age, man, he looked almost identical to my pictures whenever I was a little kid. And we told that to a lady in the last church, and she looked at him, she said, "I am so sorry." I thought that was mean, but whatever. Praise God. It's so cool to see the family traits and stuff. Don't you think that we need to become more like Jesus? Take on the family traits? If we're a child of God, shouldn't we be continually looking more like Jesus as the further we go with him? Absolutely. And so, some of these stages of development are very predictable. And guys, here's the thing. It needs to be expected, right? This is called discipleship. That's why we teach the Word of God. That's why we teach you something more than just how to be saved every week. Because I'm assuming that a lot of the people who came to church this morning are saved. And so you need something to help you grow. But to those who may have come in here for the first time and they're not saved, we're not despising that. We also tell the way of salvation. But once you're saved, that's not like the end of the journey. It's the beginning. You've got so much ahead of you to be excited about. It's awesome. God has great plans. You see, in this spiritual growth process, it was expected by the author of Hebrews that they should be in a place where they would be able to teach. In this next slide, verses 11 through 12, it talks about that in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Guys, this isn't despising the ones who are just starting out. It's saying if you've been in the church for 20 years and you still don't understand the Word of God, then what's wrong? What's wrong? Here's a question that I have. You know, if I asked you, do you know where you'll be when you take your last breath? Do you know that you will be in heaven? You shouldn't have to look at 40 years ago what you did. You need to be able to look at today what you're doing. That needs to be your evidence. Look at today. Where am I today with Christ? Not that I said a prayer at an event 40 years ago or 20 years ago or 15 years ago. Look at today. Do you see the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you desire to be like Christ? I know it's a rocky road. I know we get off of it sometimes. I know we all make mistakes. But here's the thing, we can't give up. We have got to strive to grow. We have got to strive to grow. Though, you know, he says, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Guys, let that not be said of us. You know, we are here because we want to grow. Amen? We are here. You came voluntarily. Hopefully nobody forced anybody to be here. Well, unless, you know, maybe it's one of your children and they were a little reluctant. It's okay for parents to go ahead and bring their children and live in their home. But hopefully all the adults in this room were not forced. You're here because you want to grow. Then I say, praise God. Let it not be said of us that, man, you've gotten to the point now, put the steak away and I'm just going to hand you this. You know, I was thinking about this morning. Like if I had an 18-year-old kid sitting beside me, I don't want you to picture any of my children on this because they feel singled out sometimes. But if I had an 18-year-old kid sitting beside me and they said, Dad, I am really hungry. Do you have a snack for me? And I went and said, sure, son, here, I got it for you. It's your favorite. What would you say? See, that looks kind of out of place, right? Although, we don't seem to think it's unusual when we're talking about growth in Christ. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be able to get everything you need here on a Sunday morning either. You're going to have to be one who self-feeds. Amen? Moving beyond those elementary principles. Moving into having an ability. What was the expectation? Well, first of all, that they could be able to teach. And then when we look at this next slide, that they not be stuck on milk. Right? Because it's a baby that's stuck on milk. But we should be able to move on to solid food. I'll tell you what, I don't miss the milk at all. Man, the food I have now is so much better. In fact, I love steak so much, I've got cows now, too. We're going to raise them right there on our own land and cut those things up. My mouth waters every time I hear a moo. And I do like some of their milk, too. But, you know, you're getting the picture, right? I'm glad I moved on to solid food. I love it. It's great. It's why God made us with teeth. To have solid food, you know, he wants us to be like that spiritually too. You know, I remember, like, I got saved one night by myself in the living room. About a week later, I'm trying to read the Bible. I'm trying to figure it out. And I'm just like, I'm bewildered. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me yet. Wasn't raised in church. Didn't have a clue. My wife was way further down the road than me. And I'm just like, well, I agreed to follow Christ. But I'm going to have to admit, I'm not really sure where he's heading. And so I need to read that book and find out. So I got out of, you know, the earlier part, the Old Testament part, because some of that can be pretty confusing, amen? If you don't have context for it, it can get a little confusing. I began to find out each one of those books can be read in whatever order that you may need to read them in. So I went ahead and jumped forward to the life of Jesus, and I started reading in the Gospels. Yes, I went back. It made a whole lot more sense. After I read through the New Testament, I went back and read the Old Testament. I was like, oh, now I'm seeing. This is the line of faith that led us to having Christ in the first place. This is the people that God called out of all the people of the world, and he called them, you know, Hebrews or Jews, and he said, you're my chosen people. Why were they chosen? Because they were better? No, you read the Bible and you're going to find out they were very dysfunctional. But what you're going to find out, God took the foolish things of the world to confound the wise so that he could show his greatness and how he could bring a Christ, a Messiah, through them. And it gives us hope that he can do something good through us, because we're not perfect either. And so, wow, it all begins to fall together. And I read through the entire Bible. And I thought, what do I do now? Is there another book? And then I asked myself, do I remember it all? Do I understand it all? No, it's so vast. I started reading it again. And then I read it again. And then I read it again. And I'm still reading it again. There's so much more there than what you can digest, so much more there than what you can understand. But I'll tell you, each time you gain a little more. Your development goes a little higher. You become a little more equipped. Amen? So that then we can discern good from evil. I'm going to tell you, I was reading the scripture and I read the scripture over and over again, getting ready to preach it, and I'm saying, God, what is it that you're trying to get through to me? And he just really impressed upon me. This is the whole reason why the church is looking more like the world today. Because, guys, we have not exercised and grown to a point that we can discern good from evil. That's why we do what the world does instead of doing what the Bible says. But you know what? There's a cure. Let's grow up. Let's move forward. Let's be really determined in our heart that we want to become more like Christ. We want to grow up to full age, as it says. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Then we won't be so worried about looking like the world. We'll be a lot more concerned about looking like Jesus. And we'll be becoming more useful in his hands if we can get beyond those elementary principles like it talks about in verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews 6. Leaving that discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That means completion, being more complete, becoming more like Christ. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you may need to repent of sin every day, and you will. But that repentance that led to life, that moment of salvation, you only have to be saved one time. Don't think you got to keep getting resaved all the time. Because you know what happens? A person that thinks they're getting resaved all the time, they never get out of the infant stage. They never feel stable enough to take that first step. You know, I didn't get to that. We talked about crawling. How about that first step? Isn't that a breathtaking thing to see a little baby stand up, you know, and they do the whole table thing for a while? And then they look at you, and you can tell they're wanting it. They're wanting to come to you, right? And then they do the Frankenstein step, you know? I mean, it's awesome. And even if they fall, you're just like, oh, this is so great. This is awesome. And we know that pretty soon they're going to graduate beyond that, aren't they? If they're still doing that at 16, we're like, well, maybe we ought to go see a doctor, son. You know, maybe things aren't working quite so right. We expect that there's going to be growth. Let's grow. Let's grow in our faith. Let's not go back to this thing. We don't need it anymore, right? Just a little secret. Every once in a while, Emma finds one of these. She sort of wants to go back. But we're helping to convince her she don't need to go backwards. We're going forward. It's important we keep going forward. Leaving behind those elementary teachings of repentance from dead works, guys, we need to teach that to others now, right? Once we got it, we can teach it to others. And faith toward God and doctrine of baptisms. Why does it say baptisms plural? There's really only one physical baptism, right? That's why we got that tank back there. Because I had to do one in the cold river at 40 degrees, and we decided we needed a heated tank. Because it means to be immersed. But there's also this baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us at that moment that we receive the Holy Spirit as well. That only has to happen one time in our life too. Now there's anointings of the Holy Spirit where we receive like special gift from the Holy Spirit. We're getting ready to do something in His name. I think He gives us special anointings as well. I stood before the convention in front of 15,000 people. I didn't like that. My voice was echoing back at me really bad, and it's really confusing and disturbing. But God had given me a special anointing for that moment. That's why I went to that convention, at least in part, to make a motion that I felt was very important toward our spiritual development as a convention. If you want to hear more about it, come back on Wednesday for the business meeting, because I'm going to give a little rundown of how the convention went. But you see, we need to be able to move on toward, get past those elementary teachings. Baptisms, laying on hands. That's talking about like blessing new people into these areas of ministry and things of that nature. Laying on of hands, even to pray over the sick, right? It talks about anointing them with oil. We need to know that still exists, that we still do that. I don't have any kind of hocus pocus gift to do anything like that. No, the power comes from God. All we're doing is cooperating with Him and doing what He says. Some people say, why use oil? It's not the oil that can heal you. That oil represents the Holy Spirit who can heal you. And in faith, it says use it, so we do it. We learned about it. That was an elementary teaching. Now we move on. You know, the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of a resurrection of the dead. Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead, folks? Okay, then we don't have to teach over and over and over again on that. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive whenever He has returned from heaven will be caught up together with Him in the clouds, and we shall be with Him forever. There's a lot more to the end times than that, but I'm just going to tell you, I believe it. I believe it. You don't have to teach it to me 100 times and keep telling me about it. I believe it. I got that part, and I'm going to move on to the next step. How can I then teach others? You see, that's one of the burdens that comes upon a person that's truly saved. You'll have a burden to pass it on to others. I've come upon people in visitation who will tell me, yeah, I'm saved, but I'm not going to push that stuff on my kids. Well, I'm going to tell you, you sharing faith in the one true God and the only way of salvation is not pushing it on them. How can you say you love them if you just say, go ahead, child, and go to hell? I don't care. I'm not going to tell you about that stuff. No, you're going to have a desire that if you're going to be in heaven, you're going to want them there with you. Amen? I can still remember my dad, you know, I was talking all good things about my dad. He's so awesome. You know, I really did appreciate him. But whenever I came to Christ, he looked at me like I had a third eye in the middle of my head, and he said, I hope you ain't going to be one of them kooks. Well, here I am. I'm one of the kooks. Yeah. So, he said, it's okay to believe that stuff, but, like, don't be a fanatic about it. I don't know how I can't be, because God calls me to give everything to Him, right? Well, but, you know, I can remember times of driving to work to pick Him up, to go off to the job site, that I literally was in tears saying, God, I don't think I can do this again. Because it got kind of ugly. He really tried to persecute it out of me. As much as I love Him, I'm just going to tell you the truth, because He'd want you to know too. Don't give up. One day I was crying out to God on the way over there, and I said, God, I don't think I can do this again. And it just hurt so bad. And He said, you are my chosen instrument to take the gospel to your dad. Not only did I see him get saved, my mom got saved, my grandma got saved, they all were in church together. And you know, it wasn't like this big dramatic moment where my dad came back to me and said, "Son, I'm really sorry." He never did that. I'll tell you what, he did. I looked out the pew one day at Sandy Baptist Church after praying that he'd be there. After praying there for 2 weeks and many years, several years of this friction, I saw him sitting in that pew right beside where I was going to be sitting. And he never left it. And I began to see this change in his heart and the way he dealt with the children. The hardness of heart started to leave him until he became so sick with something that was almost like getting Lou Gehrig's disease. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of that, but he lost all bodily functions. And I'm going to tell you, he left this world still able to praise the Lord with a laughter when I spoke of Jesus. He had that in his heart, and it was something God did, but he wanted me to suffer through him learning and coming to Christ. I am so thankful I didn't give up. I am so thankful that I didn't, in my tears, turn that truck around one day and say, that's it. I'm not having nothing more to do with it. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't think I would have gotten to see that reward. God may have saved him another way. I'm not saying I did that. But what I'm saying is I got to celebrate with him before he went home. I got to be there with him and see him take his last breath. I got to hear my mother gasp, who wasn't quite there yet. And I got to see her look me in the eye and say, "Isn't God so good?" And I watched her in the next couple years make this transition to the point of realizing that she wasn't just born a Christian, she needed to give her life to Christ right before she passed. I praise God for those experiences, but I'm going to tell you, that kind of growth is painful. But God wants us to stick it out because he's teaching us stuff that we can't learn any other way. That last week we talked about suffering with Christ, that's what he's talking about. Being willing to stick it out even when it's hard so that the next person can learn about Christ. But we got to get off the milk so that we can really be useful in God's hands. You see, he wants us to get past all of that and just continually learning about all that. Eternal judgment is true. Accept it. We've been set free from it, but others have not until they know Christ. Amen. Let's move on to teach them about it. You see, he wants us to be in a good place. You see, when our children don't develop as at the expected times, what do? Well, first of all, we recognize there's a delay. That's why I gave you a little graph today. It's not for you to judge your loved one or your neighbor or anybody else. It's for you to pick out on that graph, where am I? Because I'm assuming you want to grow. I'm going to assume that ahead of time, okay? No judgment. I want to grow. If you want to grow, that's good. Let's grow. Let's figure out where we are so that we can move on to the next step. We need to recognize that there's a delay. And then number two, we want to continue to teach for growth. We're not going to just, like, because we see some that are delayed, acquiesce and just say, that's it. We'll just give up on ever growing as a church, and we're not going to worry about it. We'll cater to those needs, because that's what the church is doing a lot of all across our nation. It's become like a kindergarten class instead of moving on in the meat. We went and looked for churches after I got saved, and like I told you, I was in the Bible. I'm not a big reader either. You know how you did those reading circle certificate things in school, and you get a little, you know, I used to do those, and I'd get baseball tickets or something like that back in our day. I would go to the library, and I would spend hours looking for a book that was under 100 pages. That's how I did mine. Get me the shortest book that will qualify, okay? And then I find out I got to read this book to find out where Jesus is heading, and this one I'm holding has got over 1,400 pages. Oh, my. You know what I did about it? Prayed. Because I wasn't doing real well at it. And I just got down on my knees with earnest desire in my heart. And I said, God, I believe that this is your will. You want me to read it, so give me a desire. And I'll tell you what, after that, I noticed about 2 weeks later I couldn't put it down. Continue to teach for that growth. Continue to encourage other people. We need to be connected with people that are not as far along as us so that we can help teach them and encourage them. And then the same plan is there for the spiritual growth, just like it is for the physical growth, as we see in Hebrews 6:3. And this we will do if God permits. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to step out on a little bit of a thin ice on this one, and I'm going to say, I know the will of God on this. And I know that bugs people whenever somebody comes up and says they know the will of God. I know the will of God. You know how I know the will of God on this? Because it's in His Word. And He says, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. Therefore, abstain from sexual immorality. You will find that clearly written in one of the letters to Thessalonica. He wants us to keep ourselves pure from the world and to grow, to be sanctified, set apart, growing in our relationship with Christ. He wants us to become more like Christ each and every day. So go ahead and look back at that little graph on the back of there, and I'm going to read something real quickly to you while you're looking at that graph. I'm going to read the description of the five stages of discipleship from the book called Life Coach Discipleship. I give the credit for this book to Brandon Park, the one who wrote it, and I think he'd be happy to know that we're using it today. So, description of someone who's still dead. Cold, lifeless, indifferent, and unresponsive. An infant, dependent, needed to be served, and innocent. Child, self-absorbed, learning, immature, demanding. Young adult, they have lots of energy, independent, searching, hungry, and a parent, creating life, sense of responsibility, selfless, and growing. I can tell you some things that he describes here that you'll hear a dead person say. I don't believe there's a God. The Bible's just a bunch of myths. Evolution explains away a need for God. There are many ways to get to God. I'm a Christian because I go to church, and I'm a good person. So you could hear any of those maybe coming from a person who still hasn't come to the point of salvation. I'm a good person, so I'll be okay. If you're really saved, you'll know you're not a good person. You're okay because of Christ. Amen? And it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. You hear people say that? I hear them say that in churches. That's coming from a very secular, lifeless standpoint. I don't know for sure where I'm going when I die. Oftentimes you'll hear people say that, even in church, right? I believe in a heaven, but there's no such thing as hell. You'll hear lost people say that, right? Okay, so we'll go ahead and jump forward to the infant. These are some of the things the infant might say. I believe in Jesus, but sometimes make the lake or the golf course my church. I'm just going to go ahead and read through this. I didn't make this stuff up, okay? I'm just reading what Brandon Park says. I do agree with it. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I think you'll hear infants in Christ say that, okay? And it is true. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But if you're a Christian, you're going to want to be in church, okay? Another thing that they might often say is, I gave my life to Jesus and I go to church, but I don't need to get closer to other people. If you love Christ, you're going to love His people, right? People have hurt me, so it's just me and God from here on out. Another one that they might say, my spouse is my accountability partner. I don't need anything else. Or I pray and read my Bible. That's good enough for me. My work is my ministry. I provide for my family. I don't have time for church. I don't know the Bible said that. Okay, that's all stages of infancy. Now we're going to move on to child. I love my small group. Just don't split us up or add any more people to it. I don't want it to be uncomfortable. Okay, so that's someone that's at this child development. Okay. And again, this is a Christian. You know, we're assuming that they do know Christ. We're not saying that they're not. Who are these people coming to my church? Maybe they should go somewhere else. Our church is getting too big. It's making me uncomfortable. I'll tell you another one I don't think was written in here. Somebody stole my parking place. Somebody. I walked in that church and somebody was sitting in my seat. I actually... Actually, I had that situation one time, and I saw one of our older members that's not here anymore. God bless her. She walked up, tapped the person on the shoulder. She said, "Apparently, you didn't know that you're sitting in my seat. You need to move." Please don't do that. And we're not assuming that she wasn't saved here, okay? We're assuming that she just hadn't grown beyond that child stage, okay? When we see our children acting like children, we don't think it's unusual, but we do try to teach them to grow up. Amen? All right. I'm not sure I like this church anymore is another thing that they might say. It's becoming too big and has too many people. My small group is not taking care of my needs. Another one that they might say, I don't have anyone at church who notices me or is spending enough time with me. Another one they might say, I really didn't like the music today. If only they did it like this or that. Another one that they might say is, I'm not being fed at my church, in my church, so I'm going to a church that meets my needs better. Here's what I'm going to say to anyone that might be feeling that way. Don't you dare leave till you know God is moving you. When God moves you, we will celebrate with you. But don't you dare go until God moves you. You'll know. He'll move you to another place to serve. Amen? All right, so that's the child stage. So we went through the dead, infant, child. Now we're going to get to young adult. We've only got two more little groups here, and then we'll close. All right, the young adult. These are going to be some things that you might hear young adults say in the church. I love my church, small group, but there are others who need a church like this. You see the progression of thought? It went from it's all about me, people need to notice me, to hey, you know what? There might be some other people that would need this. Let's think about this. Another one they might say, I think I could lead a small group if I had some help. I have three friends I've been sharing my faith with, and this group would be too big for them. So they start thinking of how they can minister to others. Look at how many are in church today. This is awesome. I had to walk two blocks from the closest parking lot. You see, that's the progression of thought. It's less about my comfort and more about the spread of the gospel. We want more people to have it when we get to that young adult stage. Randy and Rachel missed group, and I called them to see if they were okay. Their kids have the flu, so maybe our group can make some meals for them. I'll start. I'll help. Another thing a young adult will say, I was reading my devotions this morning, and I came across something I have a question about. Love it when people come to me like that, because I know they're feeding on the Word of God on their own time. Another thing, I noticed that we don't have an old folks visitation team or something like that, maybe to the local, retirement homes. Do you think I could be involved? You see how the progression of thought is beginning to change for a young adult in the faith? Okay, and then this is stage five, the parent. And these are things that you're going to hear in their spiritual growth, a spiritual parent begin to say. This guy at work asked me to explain the Bible to him. Pray for me that I'll be able to win him to the Lord. You see how that progression has now moved to rather than hoping they can do ministry or looking for those who can help them, they're just asking you to pray for them as they go do it. And having a burden that, hey, this is for me to do. And another one, we get to baptize someone from my small group tonight. Yay. Another one you might hear, I realize that discipleship happens at home too. Do I get an amen to that? We need to realize that above all. Will you hold me accountable to spend some time discipling my kids? Another one they might say, I have a person in my small group who is passionate about children. Can you have the children's ministry people call me? Or I just led Randy to faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll be meeting with him every Tuesday for lunch to disciple him. I'm going to tell you, that is like food to the pastor's soul when I hear things like that. Because I know that people are growing up to that next stage where they can really be useful in God's hands. And so here's my prayer today before we go to the time of invitation. The invitation isn't here to try to conjure up anything. It's here to give you an opportunity to respond to whatever God may be doing in your life. Okay? I'm going to pray that you can know where you are in those levels of development, and you'll take the next step. You will purpose in your heart that you want to grow, and you'll take the next step. If it's for salvation, I'm going to be right there when you come up, and I will help lead you through the steps that the Bible shows us of being saved. If it's to, you know, I want to get out of this infant stage, I want to start eating solid food, I want to become more of a child or an adolescent or up to that parent, I want you to take that next step. I want you to want to. So let me pray for you. Dear Father, give us a desire. Holy Spirit, move our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for saving our souls from the power of sin, death, and hell. Now, God, help us to live for you. Be our Lord, truly, that you will lead us. Give us a desire to continue to grow. Give me a desire to continue to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.